Well, I'd appreciate your prayers today. I put the thought of the day on the board. Charity edifieth. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 8 chapter. And I'd just like to lay a little foundation of the way the Lord dealt with me about this scripture. This last week, I have some folks in Pakistan that I do Bible studies with, and they asked me some questions about eating meat. The conversation was about eating pork and eating meats that was sacrificed. Because still today in Muslim countries, they still sacrifice animals just the way the Old Testament did. So they're very aware of the sacrificing of animals and those kind of things. And most everybody that I've talked to are adamantly against it. They wouldn't touch it with anything. They don't really eat the pork, and they definitely wouldn't eat the stuff that was sacrificed in the religious ceremony. So they asked me about a Bible study for that, and that's where a lot of my thinking today came from, was actually looking into it from that perspective, that I'm not in that world, so I never really looked at it before. But I do want to say, starting off, is that the gospel is not slack. It isn't short. The grace of God isn't short into being able to help us be what God wants us to be. And the fact that God can take all diversities of people. The gospel is for all people, all cultures, for all time. It isn't isolated to any individual time or place, but it is successful. That's why the Lord didn't tell us specifically what kind of garments to wear, because it was going to touch all people of all cultures for all time. That's why He gives us principles of modesty and principles of loving one another, principles that go through all times and places. There ain't specifics in it. It's the principles that He teaches to us. And so, anyway, we had a Bible study, and of course, this chapter was important to the understanding that I was wanting to get across to them. And I'll be honest with you, my understanding, the understanding that I had of it, was what I wanted to give them. That was what I wanted to give them. But as I studied the scriptures, I found out it was accurate, but it wasn't what the real message was. I wanted to tell them what they should understand about the subject that they'd ask about. And so I started off doing that, but we went to the scripture and started working with it. And as we worked through this passage of scripture, it began to open up more and more that what the apostle's trying to say is not what I was trying to tell them. The main message was that charity edifieth. That's the main message in it. It's the main message for all of our lives. It's the main message that we need to have today, because we're a diverse group of people here. We wasn't raised by the same parents. We wasn't raised in the same locality. For the most part, we're not to limit that the gospel to anybody, any place. We are individuals, and God has it. And the main thing that we can understand about all of this is that charity edifieth. In our lives, dealing with our loved ones, our neighbors, our friends, each other, the best thing that we can understand is that charity edifieth. So, under that line, I was looking at Scripture, and this is kind of the way this passage of Scripture is. This chapter here You have to realize the setting to really understand it. The setting of the day and time that they was in was that there was at Corinth, there was a converted Gentiles. And there was converted Jews. And in the passions of what they understood, it was so important to a Jew not to do some of these things. They was taught this from the time they was little children. I mean, you think of how much you have something when you're taught it from the time you're little. You don't eat things that you are not supposed to eat. You remember when Peter sees the vision? And he sees the vision and there was this sheet let down. And the sheet come down and it was full of all manner of beast. And Peter looks at this scene and the voice says to Peter, "Rise, Peter, and kill and eat." And Peter says, "Not so." I mean, right there in the middle of a heavenly vision. I mean, this is a heavenly vision, and the voice of God booms and calls him by name. There's a point for that. That's an intention. Peter, arise and kill and eat. And Peter says, "Not so." Never has something that's common or unclean passed these lips. I would not ever do it. And the voice says to Peter, "What I have made clean, don't you call it unclean. Don't call it a common or unclean." Peter, but I mean, really, am I going to say now I'm up in my 30s and I have never eaten that and have never believed that, and all of a sudden you're going to say, my understanding's being attacked here. I don't get it. You understand what I'm saying? This was the heavenly vision. It's never been that way of my understanding. Do you know your understandings can fail? They can be wrong about the way you see things and think about things. And so here's the situation at Corinth. There's a bunch of Gentiles that was converted to Christianity. They didn't have the same baggage. Oh, they had baggage of all kinds of sins and stuff, but when they was got out of that, they didn't have the lingering idea that I am not going to eat meat. I've eaten all my life. And now it comes to this situation, now I'm saved and a Christian, and they look at it, and Paul gives the right understanding of this. And this isn't my message, I just want to build on it. I want to make the point of it. He makes it obviously clear that there is no God but one. These things that you're offering to idols is imaginary. It doesn't change the meat. It doesn't do anything. We know that the idols in this world is nothing, he says. You can read the passages. We know that idols are nothing in this world. They are make-believe, they're phony, it doesn't matter to that meat. You can thank God for that meat and eat it, and it does not defile your body, soul, doesn't do anything for you. That's the absolute truth. That's what I wanted to tell the people in Pakistan. And so I started telling the people that in Pakistan. And that is the absolute truth. You can eat that meat with a good conscience. You don't have to worry. It won't defile you. You won't wake up in the middle of the night and your soul hurting. It won't bother you at all. You can praise God. You can do all of that. But as we worked with that a little bit more, I started realizing what I was telling them could be very damaging to them. And it could be very damaging to the people that was around them, because this is the way this starts off. "Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge." That knowledge that he was saying we all have, there ain't no such thing as idols. I was in another conversation with somebody this past week, and we was talking about some of the things, and the person made a comment to me, and this was the comment. "That sure makes the idols happy." It caught me as funny. They said something I was doing was going to make the idols happy. The 115th Psalm says they have ears and they hear not. They have eyes and they can't see. They have legs and they can't walk. Hands have they, but they can't handle. They can't do anything because they're make-believe. There's nothing to them. I didn't do anything to make no idol happy. Because they can't be happy, they can't be sad, they have no animation, they're not alive, they don't exist in the form that they was talking about it. So he starts off by saying, we have this knowledge. By doing whatever they do with the meat and then sell it in the shambles and you come and get the meat and sit and eat the meat, it can't hurt you. That is the truth. But he goes on to say, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. That idea, if you want to read this scripture and really get the idea of it, start with that premise of what Paul was trying. He says that, and then he goes on to deal with the situation that's at hand. We have these people here that are not going to be offended because in their lifetime they was never taught that, and they understand that old idols and stuff we believed in, are there's nothing to it, and I'm not going to be condemned by eating the meat. But the Jews were there. And the Jews have been raised different, and they looked at it different. And so Paul was approaching it from a different aspect. If you know that the Bible teaches us all the way through that understanding is good. He tries to get understanding to us. This is not a condemnation about understanding and knowing and having a knowledge of what God is and what truth is and discernment. And none of that was, that's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about without charity, your understanding ain't worth nothing. Because if you can't use your understanding to edify somebody's life, if you can't use your understanding to lift somebody up out of a lower situation, if you can't use the understanding that you have for other people, you don't have anything. And the whole perspective of what I see in this kind of illuminated when I really understood that Paul was trying to say, Marty, don't tell them that. Don't tell them to be brazen because they understand the truth and now you're knowledge and you can be free. They live a bunch of people that they can hurt and that they can harm. But use the understanding that you have to elevate people up to a better situation. Now my understanding of this certain passage of Scripture is this. What Paul goes on to say is, he said, if it offends my brother, I won't eat meat. And he talks about his weak brother that doesn't understand this, doesn't have the same understanding. And there's an environment and there's a culture involved and there's people's families involved. And I'm under the pressure that if I eat meat, I'm going to be excommunicated by my family. And if I do this, all these things are playing into my part. You don't come in like a bull in a china shop. Charity edifies. It builds up people. It helps people. And here's the scenario. He was worried about some of the brethren looking at Paul because he was the Apostle Paul and saying, I can eat meat because Paul does. And they eat meat and immediately because of the whole, they was not convinced that it was right to eat it. They simply eat it because the Apostle Paul was eating it. And then we got through, you ever do something and you think you're right and as soon as you get through with it, the old devil jumps on you and you know, I shouldn't have done it. You know, I was so convinced. The devil said, that ain't going to hurt nothing. You can go ahead and do it. And you do it and then you get through, oh, now look what you've done. And you wasn't sure what you was doing was right. We think of truth as being the only thing that, I'm going to tell you, what we believe to be true is important because when we act on something that we believe to be true, it's counted to us. If I think something's wrong and I do it anyway, I put that above God in my own heart. I believed it was wrong, but I done it anyway in defiance of God, even though it might not technically be wrong. But if you believe it in your heart, it'll be counted to you as a heart matter. And that's what he's talking about here. These people might eat because Paul, they saw Paul eat. And what Paul said was, if you can imagine, I won't eat meat as long as the world stands. Because I'm going to edify I want to edify my brother. I'm not going to destroy the one that Christ died for over meat. I understand it's right, but I can allow it to hurt my brother. And then the other side of that would obviously be that there's the possibility of these people being converted and coming to Christianity, but their hang up is they eat meat. I just can't do it. I never am that place. I won't eat meat as long as the world stands. If they can get in here and get saved and have the Lord work with them, they'll come to the truth. But if I offend them off before they ever get started, I ain't saying that we can control all that. I don't think we can. But this ain't about controlling God. It's about having charity. It's about having the desire to have other people's lives be made better rather than make my own selfish life. This is where he says that this knowledge simply puffs up. If you don't add charity to it, you ever, it's more of a childish thing, but people say it. I know something you don't know. I know something you don't know. Somehow, if I know something you don't know, I'm better off. I just know things that you all don't know. It's a self-elevating thing. It's not to be self-elevating to know something. You get a revelation of the Lord, or you understand something in the Bible, maybe that others... But there was a story told. I'm going to just say it. There was a story told. Brother Clifford Wilson told the story. He said he saw it firsthand. He said he saw a guy in one of his congregations, a brother in the congregation. He said, I saw it take the Lord 40 years to get a truth to that brother. And he said when he got that truth, he immediately demanded that everybody live up to it. Knowledge puffeth up. I know this, and it's so clear and obvious to me now that I don't know how you all don't know it. You all ought to live up to that. Just in there. Charity edifies. Charity is to be the motivating factor in this, in all that we do. The last two verses of the chapter. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. If you put those two verses with the first verse, you capture the whole essence of the chapter. So when I really realized this in this little Bible study that we was having, I had concluded, this is the truth about the meat. But charity is what he wants you to have. As you deal with this in your community, in your place, in Pakistan, around the people that you're with, God wants you to have charity. Not demanding or saying that this is, but to have charity. There's a passage of Scripture. I'll go ahead and get it. It's in Luke 10. It's very familiar to us. Probably everybody knows the story of the Good Samaritan. Oh, I'll go back where it starts, the 25th verse. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, do you notice how he had the answer? He had some understanding, didn't he? But it didn't do him much good. But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering him said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went unto him and bound his wounds, pouring oil and wine. pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go, and do thou likewise. Now in this story, there was three people came by. Two was renowned for people of understanding. There was a priest who no doubt had studied his lessons well and understood all the ideas of this and the nuances of what the scriptures mean and all that. He had to deal with it continually. He knew those kind of things. The Levite come back, the minister of the temple, he comes by. No doubt he knew the ins and outs of the religious orders and all of those things. Religion's no good to you if you don't have charity. I mean, well, there's all kinds of religions and all kinds of things to do and all of those kind of things. Without charity, it doesn't do you any good. It hasn't profited anything. What good was this world getting to people like the man that fell among thieves because there was priests walking the roads? What good was it? Was the world made better by the Levite to walk the road? Because they may have had the understandings of biblical things and all of these kind of things that that is right to have. I'm going to tell you something, though. It is a good thing to memorize scriptures. It's a good thing to have something in your heart that God can speak to you with. It's a good thing to do it, but I'm going to tell you, quoting all the scriptures you want will not fill the void of charity lost. You got to have charity. It's got to be the motivating thing factor. Just being religious is not good. But the Samaritan come by, and he exhibited charity. It made the difference in the situation. It changed it. This man asked Jesus a legitimate question, and Jesus was willing to give him the answer. This is the understanding that you have. But I'm going to tell you, if that man said, light come on, I understand now. He made that clear. That was a really good illustration. And he didn't help the man by the road. All he has is understanding. Boy, I understand that now. That was a good illustration. I wonder how many times, to be honest, I don't want to be critical, but how many times, that was a good message. That was a good message. Boy, that stirred me. Stirred you to what? Into life. I understand now where I didn't understand before. That's good. It's good to have understanding. But with understanding, there has to be charity. Because charity edifies. How do I use my understanding? I know what they should come to. I understand what these people, the bondage they're under, and I understand the place, and I also know that you can destroy people by doing what God ain't led you to do. You can beat somebody to death with the scriptures. You can thump and beat on people. You can start getting the ifs and the ands and the buts of what you should do, and you can beat people to death with it. You can also have charity, and even though you understand those truths, you want to lead a certain way. I have a situation to where I want the Lord to really help. I don't want to say too much about it, but I really want to help. And I was kind of confronted with it the other day, and this was the statement. I know that I have the position, these people's life, to tell them what they ought to do, and they do it. And I ain't going to tell them. Because if somebody can tell them and they do it, somebody else can tell them and they won't. And I know that I can tell them, and I know they'd do it. And there may be a little benefit in them doing it, but I really want the Lord to bring them to the place that they understand it till the devil can't steal it from them. And nobody can talk them out of it or take it away from them. I want them to have it because I understand the truth. And this is the truth that I understand. I want them to come to the sense of modesty. And I want them to come to a place of right living in their life and all that kind of stuff. But I also know that it's superficial if a man tells you to do it. And you do it because of that, it's artificial and it doesn't work. And the real charity is that, Lord, you can make this to happen. Lord, I know what the truth is. I know what would be better for them, but I love them. And I want them to have it for themselves and have it for real. And I'm not going to beat them over the head with it. I'm going to pray about it. And I'm going to let the Word of God speak to it. And then there's God. But if they never come to that place, all the demands I have won't do it. Understand what I'm saying? It's a relationship with the Lord that I want to try to create with these people. You could make a law that you don't eat these kind of meats. Or you can make a law that you have to eat them. It won't do any good. But charity edifies. When the man's beside the road and he's been beaten by thieves, all the understanding of the men that went by did him no good. It was charity that blessed him and helped him. There's another. I won't turn to this one, but it's a familiar scripture. You remember when Jesus came to the woman at the well? Now, in any sense, it's not to be derogatory in any sense, but she was something. I mean, if you want, she wasn't what you would have called the pillar of the society. Jesus didn't waste no time running her down. You don't think that woman knew what she was? Of course she knew what she was. What good was it going to do? Did Jesus demand anything about her? Did Jesus tell her what she had and you're going to go to hell if you don't? Jesus was going to show charity. Oh, he had perfect understanding. But he also had perfect charity. And he understood where the woman was at. And so he comes and deals with her in something that she can understand with. And he didn't make her do anything. She went away wanting to do it because he had showed compassion to her, showed her that he cared, showed her that there was something. And to be able to say about your husband, and she said about have no husband, and he says, you're right, you don't. But you have five, and one you're with, not your husband. He didn't do that demeaning. He done it to show that they had a belief that when the Messiah come, he would tell you all things. And all of a sudden, she can go down to the city now and say, there's a man up here that told me everything that I ever done. This man knows all about my life and everything. Is he not what we've been looking for? He fits the bill. You got to come listen to this man speak. You got to come and experience him. Charity edifies. Charity builds up. This is the mantra. The banner over us is love. This is the mantra of the Christians. Yeah, there's drug. You think you really need to go tell a drug addict that he oughtn't take drugs? I mean, really, how successful are you to tell an alcoholic that he really shouldn't drink? You don't think he knows it's the story? Oh, yeah, he'll get around all this problems, not this and this and this. You don't think he really knows alcohol is a problem? That's not the answer to the problems. We look at those that aren't saved around us and the lives that they have, and sometimes we'll just say, I'm staying away from, I'm going to do away from that. Charity edifies. Is the gospel in the grace of God so weak in us that we cannot stand in front of people? Are we so immature that we can't stand in front of people? Is our charity so weak that it can't reach through? So they call you a bad name. Or so they diminish you. The devil's going to do a lot of things. But charity edifies. Over in 1 Corinthians, very familiar scripture. Oh, what's it called? The love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. For though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become this, a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm just making noise with the words that I say. My demonstration, my singing, my singing songs, even though they may be love songs, they may be high praises to God. If I have not charity, worthless. I become hollow, empty. It doesn't mean anything. It ain't going to help anybody. It ain't going to do anything for anybody. Without charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, the Apostle Paul said in one place, whether in the body I know not, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But he said, I was transported or lifted up to the third heaven and saw things that was unspeakable and all those kind of things. And after that experience, he still says that if eating meat will offend my brother, I won't eat it as long as the world stands. He didn't take that as an exaltation of some special thing that you all do what I tell you. I'm going to tell you all right now that it's all right to eat meat. That's the end of it. You know, you're dealing a lot more with people in their emotions and the way they were raised and what's in them than just making a demand on people. We're made up of emotions. We're made up of feelings. We can't help them. We got to work with them and deal with them. Paul understood all of that and just set the thing down because it might be wrong to some people to eat meat. Do you know that? If they ain't fully convinced in their heart that they should eat that, they better not eat it. And when Paul recognizing that, we sometimes deal, I don't know, I sometimes in these kind of things, I just don't know how much to say about it and stuff, but we obviously, our women obviously don't wear head coverings like Mennonite people do, but we have a lot of dealings with the Mennonite people. And there has been people said to me, well, if they're going to cover, they just need to take it off. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help. You're willing to say you're going to offend somebody's conscience? I say, be careful. Let charity decide the things. Let charity be the things. That wouldn't be an approach that I'd want to take. Let charity abound in our hearts. And though I have the gift of all prophecy, I understand all mysteries. Wow, what a statement. And if I understood all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Now this boils that this first verse of 8 chapter Corinthians, it boils it down right here. It's a very fine place. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And though I could understand all of the great mysteries we was talking about before service, me and Brother Vic was talking about, what was it, the pyramids, how the pyramids was made and the mysteries behind all the things that people don't understand. And if I could understand all of that, it'd be pretty impressive. But if I had not charity, it wouldn't be no good to anybody. It would be no good to everybody. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. This is charity. Charity suffereth long. This is one of the things that I can say that comes into my life regularly, into my thought process, is that Jesus suffered so long with me. He suffered so long with me that I should suffer long with everybody else. Charity suffereth long. We're going to have a lot of dealings with a lot of people. We're going to interact with a lot of people. You may know what the truth is, and you may feel so strongly that I'm just going to tell them. Well, maybe there's a time for it sometime. But charity suffereth long. There's been times that I've things and said, how did I not know that? How did I not get to that place all these years? But the Lord is still dealing and still working. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity edifieth. You pray for me.